It is Locked On Jazz for the 4th of January. The Jazz win a solid one in New Orleans. Perspectives were very different depending on where you were when you watched it. We'll talk about that, plus Rudy Gobert's defensive expansion, Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell clicking in, and the Jazz rolling for their a million straight road win. Jazz plus Power Ranking Tuesday. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz.
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA Insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan. Each and every day, thank you very much for making Locked On Jazz your first listen of every single day. You can subscribe right there, push that little button on YouTube and get the show and hit the bell and get notified. Good morning to Ray and Andrew and Jace and Hayden and Taylor, the regular group that stops by first thing and says hello. It's always such a pleasure to be part of this community. Thank you very much for it. This is getting silly. We dropped a dud in Orlando on a road trip that I don't actually know if this happened, but they had Wednesday night off in Atlanta, played Thursday in Atlanta, had a Friday night off in Miami. It's pretty good. Played Saturday in Miami and then lost in a great game and then lost on Sunday in a dead where they were dead in Orlando playing their third game in four nights with two incredible party cities on the front side. I don't know that that's what happened, but didn't seem outlandish when I saw the schedule when the year started to say, wow, that Orlando game's a troublemaker. On November 7th, the Jazz have not lost on the road since. They beat the Sacramento Kings 123-105. They went and beat the Oklahoma City Thunder on November 22nd. They then beat the Cleveland Cavaliers by one. Little did we know how good a win that was. They beat the Minnesota Timberwolves by 30. The guys popped off because that's, I guess, what they do. That was four straight. Then they beat Philadelphia, thumped them in a pretty dramatic fashion in a night where Joel Embiid did play for their fifth straight. Then they beat Washington by 20-plus for their sixth straight. Won in San Antonio for their seventh straight, which was pretty impressive. Beat Portland by 15 for their eighth straight. And last night won their ninth straight road game. Get to 10 against Denver. I think it's going to be awfully tough against Toronto. Then they play a back-to-back in Indiana, and then they go to Detroit, and they've played a lot of basketball. So at some point, this comes to an end, but this is pretty incredible. They've won nine straight road games at this point of the season in pretty dramatic fashion or pretty dominating fashion, frankly. So really pretty awesome. And here's what's so interesting about last night. So we're not obviously on the road. I'm sitting here. I got my championship belt back here. Thanks to Salt City Swagger for that. The lockdown signs behind it, probably going to come back. So after the game, I text a bunch of my friends who happen to be with the team. I think they're friends. I think they like me. And I was like, solid. Like kind of my text, everyone was like, solid win, solid road win, decent team. They're 10-7 over the last 17. They're 16th ranked team in that time period. Like, they were relatively healthy. They were missing Thomas Satoransky, but that's it. Brandon Ingram might not be right, but they, like, solid win. The feedback I got was, what a grind. How difficult. Wow, that was ugly. It didn't feel that way to me at all. Like, calling the game from the arena, which is not the same thing, and you don't have any feel for what a game is like. Like, we had some really, really bad defensive possessions and were pretty awful on, like, these, like, moments. But I also never thought we were going to lose or never thought they were going to lose. And I never thought the Jazz were in trouble at any point in the game. Thought the Jazz were in control and thought Rudy was, frankly, had Brandon Ingram kind of messed up. And the only question was whether Herb Jones was going to be able to defend Donovan again. And he couldn't. Donovan was very nice about Herb Jones afterwards, and he's right. The kid's a really good defensive player. Donovan was 3 of 14 coming in against Herb Jones last night. And again, apologize if I had if I was on the road, I would have talked to Donovan by now and found out for you whether or not he did a bunch of film study. I'm guessing. knowing Donovan, know the amount of level of the film study that he does, I'm guessing that Donovan dug into the film, looked at, like, what did this guy do to me? What did he do to make me 3 of 14? And then came with a real plan and exposed him. That's my guess. And so, you know, I don't know if I'm right on that, but that's just generally what my supposition is. And again, I apologize. We're not traveling right now, so it's hard for us to do those kind of things. And I'm reluctant to drop a text or a DM to Donovan and ask him that and bother him in that way. It's not, doesn't seem real appropriate. If it's a big issue, I, you know, it's something that I think precludes me from actually doing my job, I probably would, but that would be just a nice added bonus. So anyway, let's do our walkthrough, because I think our walkthrough of the game will be interesting tonight. Obviously our big guys stepped up and that was key. For the night, we had a 118.6 offensive rating, which is a little off our normal. But it's right about there. And our defensive rating was a 106. That's good. Like, that to me, that's kind of where I was talking about. Like, that's a solid, good win last night. And I thought we did a lot of things really well. We like to always look at it quarter by quarter. And I think this is the Jazz offense in the first quarter was a 104.5. And I think that's the slog that the, when I was talking to people that I got the reaction from, was that, you know, that they really felt as though, you know, it was a hard start. They didn't have a lot of juice. They trailed at the end of one. Valanciunas getting in foul trouble, I actually thought might have screwed with the Jazz a little bit, though. They, you know, they were playing pretty well. Might have won the game. Hermann Gomez's 4-32 wasn't very good, and Jackson Hayes wasn't either offensively. But I thought the Jazz game with obviously a set game plan, and then Valanciunas gets in foul trouble and goes out. But maybe the Jazz just didn't get started. That's kind of what all the quotes were. And it's not totally surprising. It's their third game in four nights traveling, fourth game in six nights. This is about as heavy a stretch of games. There'll be a dog in here somewhere. I'm assuming it's in Toronto. And that's a story in and of itself, by the way. We'll talk, I'll touch on that here in a second. But the second quarter, the Jazz offense rating was a 132. They really exploded. They held them to a 109. It was brilliant. When Mike Conley's 6 minutes on the floor, the Jazz were incredible. Mike then started building up an awesome plus-minus. The defensive rating in that second quarter when Rudy Gobert was on the floor was a 95. And then I don't have when Rudy Gobert was off the floor necessarily, because Rudy Gay played both, but Rudy Gay's was a 140. So there we had that same thing. We're trying to play that defense with Rudy Gay at the five was a very difficult thing for us. Now, as we talked about yesterday on the show, offensively it's been a bigger problem. And the Jazz did a better job of that offensively. In the third quarter, the offensive rating is a 120, pretty good, and the defensive rating is a 108. This is the first time I've ever seen this, by the way. The overall defensive rating in the second quarter was the same at the end of the third quarter. So it actually just held, which to me was just kind of like, oh, this is a fundamental, solid, just in-control win. It was just how I felt watching it in the arena off the television, and then yet the feedback I got was that was a much more difficult, and maybe that's, you know, where the texture of being with the team, that they're four games in six nights, that they're really feeling they're dragging. They knew the guys were tired. They actually do a system where they go from player to player to ask how they're feeling, and they get the reports. And maybe the feelings they got back were all that they were tired. They didn't shoot around yesterday because of that. They just realized the guys had too much. And so it's a really interesting to me. This is, and I'm not lamenting. I am lamenting that we're not on the road. I can't do my job as well. It drives me crazy. I get it. So I'm not sitting here complaining about it. I'm lamenting, yes. But it's an interesting kind of the perspective of the coaching staff on that one is no shoot around yesterday. They fundamentally believe in shoot arounds. I mean, they didn't shoot around against the Warriors, and really afterwards, the kind of comments where we're a team that needs shoot arounds and needs preparation. And they decided not to do it against New Orleans four games and six nights. And then they come out really kind of, you know, and even Quinn said it, we were stuck in mud. And then the third quarter was a 121 offense and a 108. This is really solid. And then the fourth quarter, they did it again. They 118 offense and 100 defense. So to me, this was just really, really solid performance in this one. And they probably, you know, they feel as though they had to tax it a little bit. Rudy Gobert ends up playing 37 minutes, which is a little more than usual. And Boyan played 35, which is a little more than usual. And Donovan was at 34. So I think they felt they had to kind of work their way through this game a little bit more than what they're used to, and that must have been some of the reaction to that. But I thought it was just a solid in-control win. I frankly never thought they were in doubt. One of the big stories in this one is just, once again, the expansion of Rudy Gobert's defense, and we'll touch on that when we continue. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai, located at 4646 South State Street, also in located in Logan and in Linden. SUVs right now have been valuable. They've got an amazing lineup, the little Kona. I'm driving the black Kona right now. Small, zippy. Then there's the Tucson, which is the next one up, and then the Santa Fe, which we've already bought two of, one for each of the kids. I know, nice deal for the kids, but if you've ever driven with your kid, when they first start, you then want every bell and every whistle and every safety feature because 16-year-old drivers suck. And so that's what we went through. So we got the Hyundai because, frankly, even with my connection, it was just a no-brainer. The amount you get for the car, the bells, the whistles, the safety features, everything about it are at the peak level for prices that you can't get anywhere else. The Murdochs have also decided they're not charging more than MSRP. So really a nice commitment to the community in Utah that they will not do that. If you're going to head by to any of the three locations in Logan, Linden, or in Murray, feel free to email me first. I'll set you up with a VIP meeting. And they do have some inventory coming in between now and February, so they should be in good shape. That's all at Murdoch Hyundai, located at 4646 South State Street. Today's show is also brought to you by Truebill. Truebill is saving the average person up to $720 a year, which to me is just an amazing number. Truebill is a new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need, want, or simply forget about. Because companies like to make subscriptions hard to cancel, Truebill makes it incredibly simple. Just link your accounts. Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in one tap, and your Truebill concierge is there when you need them to cancel unwanted subscriptions so you don't have to. I have Truebill. I actually like it for a lot of other things too. It notified me yesterday that there was an unusually large expenditure that went through. And so I got a chance to check it and see what it was. It also tells you what you spend each month, which in frankly, December was a little scary. So maybe I didn't like the app so much at that point. It's got a lot of really cool features to it beyond just the idea of saving you from this. But Truebill has saved over 2 million users, over $100 million. But it's great. Like I'm looking at right now, I got my card balance. I've got what my checking is right now. Tells me I'm getting paid in 10 days. Tells me what I've spent this month, and then has all my reoccurring things coming up, one of which I actually don't have a New York Times coming up for $8 in 5 days. But I have one right here I don't recognize. Oh, Sports Reference. So that's my basketball reference data. Okay, then that's okay. But it's a good reminder. Like I wouldn't have noticed it. Go. In-flight internet just took $59 out of my account. Maybe I didn't really need to do that and probably should pause that since I'm not traveling. That's the value of Truebill. Go check it out. I'll stop with all my little expenditures so you don't know. Go to start canceling today at Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. That's Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Hayden, I see your question about play-by-play. I don't want to answer that because I don't think anybody else cares. If you want to drop me an email or something, I'll try to do the best I can. I'll give you two quick pieces of advice for anybody who wants to go into broadcasting and do this job. But I actually think these are, if you have something you're passionate about, you want to do in life, I'll give you two pieces of advice. They're not very sophisticated. One is be better than everybody else. Like I know that's hard for the next generation to kind of sometimes get. Like there's not an A to B to C to D to E. You just have to work harder and try to be better than everybody else and get lucky. And then number two, this sounds weird, but like plan B's are a problem. Like I didn't have plan B. Like I was going to be the NBA play-by-play announcer or baseball play-by-play announcer. So I didn't have a plan B. And I think there's something to that. Like it's kind of bad advice for life because you could end up pretty desolate. But I do think there's something to know plan B. I was fortunate. So I probably was willing to have no plan B and work for less money than I would otherwise because I had a lot of advantages in life. But, you know, that's kind of my thought for you. Like I look back at it and it was like never anything else I was ever going to do. And people always ask me, like, if you didn't do this, what would you do? I don't know. Stacy says, you need to be a great road team to win a championship, right? Yeah, I would generally agree with that. I think we're a championship caliber team. We've got some warts. They became very evident against the Warriors and some other times. But there's no question we're one of the five teams that are championship caliber. We're just going to see if we get it done. By the way, Stacy, a bunch of stuff I've seen from you recently on Twitter and everything else where we all live our worlds and very great stuff. So I think I've liked a bunch of it for you. Hopefully you noticed. All right, let's go to Rudy Gobert last night because that's much more important than anything else. So last night, Rudy Gobert is 9 of 22 defending shots. It's like a routine night, 41%. teams are 2 of 7 when they shot three and he was the defender. Now that's beginning to be an interesting number right there. So Rudy Gobert last night defended 7 3-point shots. Like that's getting to be a lot. And that's where things are beginning to change a little bit. Here. Rudy Gobert is second in the league at 21.5 defended shot attempts a night. Nikola Vucevic is at 21.7. Jokic is at 20. Jakob Poeltl's at 19.6. Embiid's at 19.1. Valanciunas is at 18. Of those, the only – then, you know, I can keep going, right? It's Anthony Davis, DeAndre Ayton, Evan Mobley, Miles Bridges, Scottie Barnes, bunch of guys. Rudy holds people at 5.6 percentage points below their average. Of the players – of the top 50 players in the league, only Jarrett Allen at minus 6.9 is better than that. And then there's some guys that are the other side. And so Rudy's, you know, as we know, the best defender in the league. And if you look at last night's night, it's just like on average, teams go 9 of 22 when Rudy's defending. And last night they went 9 of 22. Kind of incredible. The 3-point thing's getting really interesting. So the 3-point going in 2 of 7 last night is the Jazz are suddenly having Rudy Gobert come out on the floor and defend the 3. Rudy defends more 3-point shots than anyone else on our roster. Rudy's now defending 4.8 3-point shots a night. Last night, what was Rudy Gobert's number last night? 7. So that's up. Teams are shooting 30% on 3-point shots that Rudy Gobert defends. Jordan Clarkson actually is at 27.9, and Joe Ingles is always really good at this number because he's so long, at 24.3. So at 4.8, 3-point shots defended a night. This is, to me, really, really interesting because this is the Jazz kind of expansion of Rudy. This is similar to where he was a year ago, but if you go back to like 1920, he's not nearly as good at it. He's out there. The guys are shooting 35% instead of 30%. If you go back to 18-19, they're shooting 34%. And he's not out as often. In 17-18, they shoot 39% against him. So you're seeing this kind of defensive expansion from Rudy. Brandon Ingram, when Rudy Gobert is on the floor, is just absolutely neutered. And it's interesting because a few years ago, he just torched the Jazz. But in the 3 games this year in which when Rudy Gobert was on the floor and Brandon Ingram was on the floor, Brandon Ingram took 1 shot near the rim in 3 games. In 3 games. So like when you see Brandon Ingram, and I think he's coming off his Achilles and his ankle soreness, and he's probably not quite right, but you see that he shot with Rudy Gobert on the floor in 3 games, he shot 33%. And you look at his shot zone, and there are 2 blue dots below the free throw circle in the paint for over a 3-game period of time. 2. He makes them both. 2 blue dots. Like, he tries to attack Rudy, gets a shot blocked, and decides, like, okay, well, I don't think I'm doing that again. Tries it one more time. It's like, yeah, I don't think I'm doing that again. Like, it's an incredible thing for the Jazz, for what Gobert does, to just literally take a player out of a portion of the lane. And now you add in that he can go out and defend on the floor as well, as you saw multiple times. It's really, truly, truly remarkable. And, you know, we watched him. He had one of the most impressive defensive plays I've seen last night. He went out, denied Ingram. Ingram lobbed over the top. He got back and blocked Valanciunas' shot at the rim. It was pretty awe-inspiring for what he did last night. Our guards had a really interesting night. And again, this might be the perspective of the guys that were in the arena compared to us. So if you go back last night, just to the old school, in the first quarter, Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell combined to go 2 for 7. In the second quarter, they combined to go 6 for 10. And in the third quarter, they they get it going even more. And they just, you can see that Mike's got complete control of the game. They go 4 of 7. Mike goes 2 of 2. And then the fourth quarter, Donovan just dominates. He has 15 points in the quarter. He's astronomical. He makes Herb Jones look like he has shoelaces tied together. He was great. And Boyan hit the 2 big 3s late. And that was really like, you know, well, on the other end, Brandon Ingram goes 2 of 8 in the fourth quarter. Again, to our shot plot thing, he has one shot that he misses in the middle of the lane, and everything else was from at least 15 feet up, which is, you know, really, it's remarkable to just take away that part of the floor from a player. But the guards, that's the first time I actually have seen in a while that Donovan and Mike both had it going on the same night, and they tag teamed a little bit. Like, Mike took the third, Donovan took the fourth, and that led to him. So my perspective from sitting inside an arena calling that game was just a very solid road win that shows how good we are, the same way we continue to win on road. 9 straight, haven't lost since Orlando on the road, which seems like a million years ago. And the Jet, you know, very, very impressive in that sense. Talking to guys and texting with people that were there, their feeling was it was a real slog. It was really difficult. There was no crowd, no atmosphere, no environment at all in that building last night. So they had to create their own energy, and they didn't actually have it, which maybe from their viewpoint is a much better, which just makes it even a more impressive one from that. All right, Power Ranking Tuesday and some of your questions coming up. I see something about Royce and something about winning championships. We'll touch on both of those as we continue. Thanks very much for making Locked On Jazz your first listen of the day. Locked On Now is our new show that brings you the local experts breaking down the games. I loved it. I got a great recap of the games on Sunday night. I didn't know that Minnesota had those 20 offensive rebounds. Indiana's lost, I think it's like 11 games within 4 points this year. The local experts just give you great knowledge. Quick little show available on podcasts at Locked On Now or on the YouTube channel at Locked On NBA. There's also an NFL recap as well. All on Locked On Now on your podcast players, or go to your Locked On NBA, Locked On NFL YouTube channel. Let me get some of your questions today before we jump to our power rankings. I feel concerned about Rudy Gay all of a sudden. I feel like his upside is so great. But in the last couple of games, I also see so many fumbles, mishandles, et cetera, from him. So interesting on the upside. Like, I want to be fair to Rudy Gay. He's 36, right? Like, there's one or two other players left in his entire draft class in the league. Like, he's in the 2006 draft class. LaMarcus Aldridge has retired and come back. Like, Brandon Roy and Randy Foy were taken before Rudy Gay. They haven't been in the league forever. J.J. Redick just retired. Kyle Lowry's still playing. Rajon Rondo's still playing. They're much smaller men. E.J. Tucker's still playing, but he went to Europe for a long time, right? So, and then when you look at, like, games played, he's played. Paul Millsap's kind of still playing. He's played the third most amount of games of anyone in that. He's played 1,032 games. Like the upside, I don't, let's make sure we don't think we're getting 25-year-old Rudy Gay. We're getting 35-year-old Rudy Gay. And so there's nights when I think the body just does and the mind aren't connected. I thought last night was one of those nights. He did not seem like very connected last night. So I think we have to understand that that's part of it. Now, hopefully when the playoffs come, the intensity ramps up, you get a few days off, you're not playing 4 games in 6 nights. Then suddenly he's a more effective player. But last night's probably about as tough as you can ask for on a 35-year-old body. We have a better chance versus Memphis, Nuggets, even Lakers. However, Clippers may just be enough, but it's a toss-up. Suns, Warriors, they got our number. You know, there's a phenomenon here, and I think this comes to this question too. Those two would be almost unavoidable on the road to a championship. I wonder if we still need to worry about Clippers, Nuggets, Lakers. I feel like we can beat everyone else in the West. Like, winning a championship is really brutally hard. And you're going to have to play the best teams in the league. Now, ideally, we work our way up to a number one seed somehow. And then the Suns and Warriors go knock each other off. And you only get one of the two. But then you probably get the Lakers or Clippers in the second round. And that's not easy either. There's just nothing easy about this. Like, I know everybody wants us to have a 60% chance to win a championship. And they want us to have, you know, an easy route. But that's actually not where it works. All right, John Schumann's power rankings, always the best there are. Rudy Gobert was the plus-minus player of the week last week at plus 59. By the way, players of the month should come out today or tomorrow. I wonder if any of our guys will get it. Dame Lillard was a minus 67 last week. Chicago was 4-0. The West is now 97 and 91 against the East. That's pretty close. The Jazz have the second easiest schedule in the NBA at this point. And the power ranking, the team to watch this week is Dallas as Luka comes back. And they got a nice win last night against Denver. They then face the Warriors on Wednesday, Houston Friday, and they go to play the Bulls on Sunday. So the Warriors are their number one seed, and I think well-deserving. With Draymond Green missing games and the way they're playing, I think you have to really give it to them, particularly what they did offensively to us, frankly. Utah they have as number two. John Schumann writes, the Jazz have played Rudy Gay at center for only 44 minutes this season. 37 of the 44 have come in the three games that Hassan Whiteside missed. One of those games against the Warriors and the Jazz were outscored by 17 points in 13 minutes with Gobert off the floor. Jazz go nine deep with four lineups that have played more than 120 minutes with two finishers in the six-man voting. They've won their two games without Donovan last week, also got their first win without Mike Conley, but they remain dependent on their bigs. Though Gobert hasn't missed a game, the Whiteside addition has been more important than most of us initially thought. It would have helped if Gobert had played more than 35 minutes himself on Saturday, but it was a second game back-to-back. Jazz are now 0-3 in rest disadvantage games, and they have another one Saturday in Indiana on a five-game trip that begins. He has Phoenix at three. Jalen Smith's doing interesting things, and they decided not to sign him. Milwaukee's at four. Chicago's at five. Brooklyn's at six. Miami's at seven. Those are kind of the seven title contenders at this point, I think. Memphis is at eight, and then Cleveland nine. In the NBA.com power rankings, which I strongly suggest you read after you listen to Lockdown Now. ESPN, Warriors 1, Phoenix 2, Bulls 3, Jazz at 4. Same thing about small ball and how badly it did. Milwaukee at 5, Brooklyn at 6, Miami at 7. That's universal. Memphis is 8, then Philadelphia and Cleveland at 10. So the top 10 getting universal. All right, let's go to the numbers instead of the predictions. Right now, the Chicago Bulls, last week it was the Cleveland Cavaliers. This is pretty exciting, actually, in the Eastern Conference. Last week, the Cleveland Cavaliers were projected to win the East, according to Basketball Reference. It is now the Chicago Bulls at 51 wins. I got to figure Milwaukee or Brooklyn gets hot, clicks in, and kind of goes on a run here and gets over 51 wins. Chicago, 51 wins. Cleveland at 50. Miami at 49. They literally have Chicago, Cleveland, and Miami projected as 1, 2, and 3. Milwaukee at 4 and Brooklyn at 5. What a disastrous first-round series that would be for the NBA. They have Milwaukee. Then Philadelphia at 6 with Boston, Toronto, Washington, and Charlotte, the play-in teams, Atlanta and New York out, Indiana out. Toronto's interesting to me here. Toronto played their first, this I learned on Lockdown Now, played their first game healthy all season long the other night. I think Toronto, every year there's been one team that's like 8 and below that then actually rockets up, gets hot in the second half of the season, wins a playoff series. I think Toronto's my team to do that. I think if Toronto can get to like 6 and then get Cleveland or Chicago in the first round, I think they would actually win that series. But wild, the idea that Atlanta, New York, Indiana would not be part of the playoffs. In the West, they have the Warriors winning 62, the Jazz winning 58.5. This actually, they have it backwards here. 58.5 and the Suns at 58.7. So we would be 3. Chance to win the finals, by the way, they have Warriors at 34%, Jazz at 27%. Cavaliers at 12, Suns at 12, and then Chicago, Miami at 3 and 4. So 1, 2, 3 is what you'd expect. We have us at 3. 4 is Memphis with a good margin over 5, which is Dallas, and then 6, which is Denver. Jamal Murray back would be a scary first-round series. Clippers, Minnesota, Spurs, and Lakers in the play-in with a pretty good margin over the Sacramento Kings. Let's go to 538, so we go again to more numbers. This projects the Jazz, Suns, and Warriors at 1-2-3 in the West, with the Jazz at 58 wins, the Suns at 58 wins, the Warriors at 56. Do you realize how many wins 58 is? So both systems have us winning 58, 59 wins. That's a crazy, amazing season. Wow. Has number 4 is the Grizzlies, so there's no real doubt there. 5, they have the Nuggets at 46. 6 is the Mavericks at 45. 7, the playing games are the Timberwolves, Clippers at 40, Lakers and Blazers at 37, with the Spurs at 36, and the Pelicans and the Kings all the way down to 32. But has us as the tied for 1. I think getting the 1 seed would be mammothly important, frankly. I thought so last year. I'll say the same again. In the East, they have the Bucks 1, the Bulls 2. That seems more likely to me. The Nets 3, the 76ers 4, the Heat 5, the Celtics 6, then the Hawks, Cavaliers, Raptors, and Hornets in the play-in game. I kind of feel that's 538 seems to be more in tune. That's based on Raptor playoff ratings. If you do the ELO, show the ELO forecast, then the Warriors and Suns are at 61 and we're at 58. On that. All right, that is Locked On Jazz today. Thanks very much for tuning in. Go give Locked On Now a try on your podcast player or on Locked On NBA on YouTube. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy yourself. Another storm's coming in. It's a good thing. Talk to you soon.